From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. The focus in this message is Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. The main emphasis of the book is upon the church as the body of Christ. The central theme is God's grace has formed and filled His church as His triumphant witness to heaven, earth, and hell. Paul draws attention to the spiritual nature of the church, stressing that the church is inseparable from Christ. Of particular importance is the truth that God has always had only one purpose for the church, that it should be made up of both Jews and Gentiles, all one in Christ. This is the mystery of which Paul speaks. It is God's intention that the church should be effective on earth. The key to this is its ministry. God has given special gifts to His church, which include, but are not limited to, pastors and teachers. Every believer is to have a part in the witness of Christ's church. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue this overview of Ephesians under the title, The Unsearchable Riches of Christ. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought found in Faith's Checkbook, as written by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Cure for Envy. The text is Proverbs 23, verses 17 and 18. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. When we see the wicked prosper, we are apt to envy them. When we hear the noise of their mirth, and our own spirit is heavy, we half think that they have the best of it. This is foolish and sinful. If we knew them better, and specially if we remember their end, we should pity them. The cure for envy lies in living under a constant sense of the divine presence, worshiping God and communing with Him all the day long, however long the day may seem. True religion lifts the soul into a higher region, where the judgment becomes more clear and the desires are more elevated. The more of heaven there is in our lives, the less of earth we shall covet. The fear of God casts out envy of men. The death blow of envy is a calm consideration of the future. The wealth and glory of the ungodly are a vain show. This pompous appearance flashes out for an hour, and then is extinguished. What is the prosperous sinner the better for his prosperity when judgment overtakes him? As for the godly man, his end is peace and blessedness, and none can rob him of his joy. Wherefore, let him forego envy and be filled with sweet content.
Jesus, Lord,
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves, and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content, and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel, as it is presented by Christ, to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
The mystery that Paul speaks of in chapter 3 has caused more contention. The mystery, in a word, is that Jews and Gentiles are brought together in one body in Christ, and they're no longer divided. Now, in a word, the formation of Jews and Gentiles as one body in Christ, that's the essence of the mystery. Now, the dispensational idea of that, that's the idea that has taken over most fundamentalist churches, unfortunately. The dispensational idea is that through Paul, God here for the very first time revealed something that was entirely new. And that this entirely new thing is that the church is a totally distinct thing. That it is totally different from anything that went before. That it's different from the Old Testament people of God, and it's totally different from all the Old Testament promises of God. Most dispensationalists will say that after the rejection and death of Jesus Christ, God interposed a parenthetical period, and that's the church. And he's going to take up his original ideas with the Jews after he has raptured the church. Some modern dispensationalists go even further. You see, if you write a sentence, try it sometime. When you write a sentence and you put something in parentheses, what is in parentheses has a relationship to what went before and what comes after. So that led some, like Charles Ryrie, to say that the church age is not a parenthetical age, it's what he called an intercalation. In other words, it is something that has nothing to do with anything that went before, and it has nothing to do with what's going to come after. It stands absolutely different, entirely new, essentially different from the Old Testament and from what God is going to do in the tribulation period and the millennium through the Jews. It's a tragedy that that has ever come to be believed. It's absolutely without foundation. Let me invite your close attention just for a minute in chapter 3. First of all, it's not true to say that what Paul was writing here was being revealed for the very first time. Because verse 5 says that it has been revealed to the apostles and prophets. That is, to the apostolic prophets, if you want it. These are the New Testament men, the apostles of Jesus Christ. So they all got it. It wasn't just Paul. Paul was not preaching something different to Peter. He was preaching the very same thing. Secondly, it is explicitly said that this mystery was not made known in those ages as it is now revealed. Now, I want you to understand the force of the word as it is now revealed. The word as means simply in like manner or in the same way. What is that saying? It's saying this truth was revealed, but not to the same degree, not with the same clarity. That, my friend, is true of just about every gospel doctrine. What was being revealed for the first time? Verse 6. You'll find that it's the Gentiles should be fellow heirs with this of the same body, partakers of his promise in the gospel. Now, verse 9, to make all men see what is the fellowship. I think the word should be the dispensation of the mystery. Now, put these together, verse 6 and verse 9. What is Paul revealing for the first time, or what is God revealing through him? It is the dispensation. What does that word mean? It means the plan of administration. It is the administration of the inclusion of the Gentiles. Isaiah talked about the Gentiles being brought in. The Old Testament is full of the Gentiles being brought in. What was not revealed was how they were to be brought in. The Jews always thought that when the Gentiles were brought in, they would be made Jews. That's what happened in the early church in Acts 15. When the Judaizers said, except you be circumcised, you can't be saved. They were happy to have the Gentiles in. But they thought in order to be in, they had to become Jews. This is what was brand new. This was the apex of the great revelation. This is the dispensation of the mystery. That they are brought into the same body. They are fellow heirs. They are joint partakers of the promise. But they don't have to become Jews. That's the glorious truth here. Now that the Old Testament saints are included in this body is very clearly stated here by Paul. These people who tell us the church is so different, that Abraham's not in the church. The Bible calls him the father of the faithful, but somehow or other he's not in the church. The church is something began at Pentecost and it ends at the rapture and anybody else is not in the church. The Bible never says that. It's totally erroneous. First of all, they are fellow heirs. These, you and I, Gentiles, are fellow heirs. Now, the word fellow, joint heir. Question is, fellows with whom? They say, well, with Jews. See if nowadays. Because we're told they are joint partakers of the promise. With whom? Who received the promise? I tell you, if we are joint partakers of the promise, we are partakers in the promise with others who received the promise. Who received the promise? Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15 makes it absolutely clear. For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. What did Abraham receive? He received the promise. What did we see last week in Galatians? God gave to Abraham the promise 430 years before he gave the law to Moses. We are joint partakers with all who have received the promise. And that means we are members of a joint body. We are of the same body. Because we're of the same promise. This is the very same truth as is set forth in Romans chapter 4. And if you look at verse 13 of Romans 4, you'll find a wonderful statement. It says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world, were to a seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Who should be the heir of the world? Abraham is the heir of the world. Now, there's a lot could be said in that expression that time forbids I even go into. But I want you to see it. Abraham was not only the heir of the Jews. He's the heir of the world. The promise of God through Abraham did not only reach to the Jews after the flesh, but it reaches to the world through the righteousness which is by faith in Jesus Christ. How was Abraham saved? By the grace of God on the merits of the righteousness of Christ received by faith. Romans chapter 4, Galatians chapter 3. How are we saved? By the grace of God on the merits of Jesus Christ, received by faith alone. What was the promise to Abraham? Christ. What is the promise to us? Christ. We are joint partakers of the promise. We are therefore of the same body. And I want to tell you, my friend, the Church of Jesus Christ was not an afterthought. It was not a parenthesis. It was not an intercalation. The Church of Jesus Christ was in the very center of the plan and purpose of God from all eternity. That's the mystery of the Church. Thus, this mystery is that by grace, through faith, without works, the Gentiles are admitted to the full blessing of the Abrahamic covenant. And they don't have to become Jews to get in. The middle wall of partition is broken down. Chapter 2, verse 15. All in the body are now, Jew or Gentile, redeemed, united to Christ, reconciled, regenerated, sealed by the Spirit of God. The church will be effective on earth if it keeps this in mind. The spiritual nature of the church. Don't try to make it like any other organization. Don't think that you'll import the practices of business or any other organization into the church and say, it works there, so it'll work here. This is a spiritual organization of redeemed people united to Christ, regenerated by the Spirit, reconciled to God, indwelt and sealed by the Spirit, treated as such. And that will be the key to our effectiveness. Another key will be our ministry. The ministry of the church, chapter 4, verse 8. Christ ascended up on high and led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now look at verse 11 and 12. These gifts, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Now what's it all for? Let me substitute for the word for the word unto, because that's the original force of the word. He gave these gifts in the church, verse 12, unto the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of the ministry, unto the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, do you see how one thing leads to another? The gifts are given. Pastors, teachers, officers in the church, the whole setup of the church, the ministry of the church is given to lead the saints to maturity. Saints are led to maturity to do the work of the ministry. You do the work of the ministry to edify the body of Christ. In other words, the church doesn't run because the pastor works. The church doesn't work because the session works, the elders. The church doesn't work because of gifted men in office. We need gifted men in office. But my friend, this church will only work as the ministry touches you. And as you are stirred in likeness to Jesus Christ to touch others. In other words, as the church is working in all its parts. I haven't time to go on through this fourth chapter, verse 16, for example. The whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplies. My, what a picture of a body. Look. You can look at your own body. You'll not get very far tomorrow on your way to work if the only part that's working is your head, but your feet aren't working. You'll not do very much tomorrow if the only part that's working is your feet, but your hands are stuck behind your back. If you're going to live life in this world, the body, the head, every part of the body has to be supplying its own particular supply to the whole work. That's the way it is in the church. Every part in the ministry, this is the key to the church's effectiveness on earth. When every Christian is a witness, when every Christian is a worker, when every Christian takes his full responsibility and stops putting it off onto others, that's effectiveness on earth.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.